Okay, so last week we discussed the Gemara, the Tosfos on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, and the Beit Tam and the Sefer Yashar, and the Rambam, and various views on Nida. And what we tried to accomplish was twofold. Number one, to try to figure out whether Nida is an Erva, and a very, I think, interesting argument between the Rambam and Rabbi Tam. Two opposite views, and then we suggested a middle view, you know, to kind of navigate, you know, more, I think, effectively some of the conflicting evidence. So three views on the nature of Nida, whether Nida is Erva, Nida is not Erva, or Nida is a Nice of Arayos, but not a Gabra Erva. And how did that figure into Yevamos? Because the Tosfos on Daf Beis Amud Aleph had asked the question, since Nida is this part, they don't say this part, but I'm adding this part, since Nida is Chayit Kares, so, and according to, you know, some other Rishonim you might add, and since Nida is an Erva, so why wouldn't an Isha Nida not be exempt from Yibum and Chalitza, because the rule is Ein Aseh Docha Lo Aseh Sheish Bo Kares, and therefore it should be like the other examples of the Mishnah. So what we tried to explain last week was that A, there are people who think that Nida is not Erva, even though it's Chai Vekrisis. B, maybe the idea of the Mishnah, which is that there are 15 types of Arayos which are not subject to Yibum, the idea is not limited to the notion of Ein Aseh Docha Lo Aseh Sheish Bo Kares. Maybe the real idea, or the bigger idea, is the idea that Yibum is a concept of Kedushas Ishus, and therefore you have to have an appropriate candidates. There are certain candidates which, if we were allowed Yibum to apply in those cases, it would be tantamount to saying that Yibum, right, is not a form of Ishus. We'd be just saying that it's simply Lachim Lachim Shem B'Yisrael, you know, and forget the consequences. So, assuming that that's not correct, so then you have to figure out who is and who is not a proper candidate. Now, mostly, that dovetails with Chai Vekrisis and with the status of Erva. Here and there, we're going to find cases where, despite Chai Vekrisis, right, there's still a good candidacy. And here and there, we're going to find cases where, even though there's no Chiyuv Krisis, even though there's no Lav Sheish Bakares, there's still a candidate who is inappropriate. So that's what we've been looking at, and that's what we've been, you know, kind of analyzing the last few weeks. So Nida is a great example of Chai Vekrisis and possibly even Erva, yet one which is an entirely appropriate candidate for Yibum B'Chalitza. You have to wait, you know, but obviously there's nothing about the relationship of Nida that makes the woman inappropriate. It's not a candidacy issue, and that's exactly what Tosa says. Tosa says it has to be something like Achos Ishto, his sister-in-law, the sister of his wife. That kind of erba is a relationship problem. Nida is not a relationship problem. Nida is a timing problem in terms of the physical relationship, but it has nothing to do with the interrelationship of the parties, and therefore, even if you were to say that Nida is Erva, you would not conclude that it's one of the Arayos of the Mishnah. On the other hand, we've also seen other cases where there's no Chai Vekrisis, and therefore there should be Ase Do Chalos Ase, and yet there isn't because the candidate is inappropriate. For example, that's a discussion of Rabbi Akiva, which I hope we'll get back to, but just very quickly, Rabbi Akiva, that's the answer to Tosa's question. Tosa doesn't give this answer, but it would be a good answer to Tosa's question on Daf Tes Omid Aleph, the bottom Tosa's. Bottom Tosa's, Tosa deals with the problem of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that Chai de Lavin are not subject to Tfisas Kedushin, and that in most cases, a union of people who have an Isur Chai de Lavin produces a mamzer. In other words, mostly Rabbi Akiva, with some exceptions, treats Chai Be'Lavin like the Chachamim treat Chai Be'Krisis. So, but at the same time, as far as we know, Rabbi Akiva does not deny the rule of Aseh Dochelos Aseh. So it just fell into our lap, you know, a perfect a litmus test, right? Because for Rabbi Akiva, right, the relationship to Chai Be'Lavin may be comparable to the Chachamim's Tamikrisus. And according to some Rishonim, they even call it an error. But not everybody. But for example, if you look at Rashi and Tesim and Aleph, the second to last line, the last two words on the second to last line, right, that sounds good. Rashi says, Rabbi Kiva Olim Lav Lemiftere Bivolo Klum Ke'erva Gemura. Right? So on the one hand, you have the case of something which is like Erva. Right? Normally you produce a Mamzer, there's no Tzitzis Kedushin. At the same time, why not say Aseh Nechalos Aseh? Because that still applies according to Rabbi Kiva. It isn't Kavik Krisis. So that's Tosis's question. Tosis on the bottom here, the last Tosis on the daf, Hare Yisr Mitzvah Yisr Kedushin Apligi Rabbi Kiva Rabbanan. So Tosis says, Bechol Duchti, in all the different places, Pshitulei Lahashas, Dechai Delavin, the Rabbi Kiva, the Amar Ein Kedushin Tosin, Dechai Delavin, Labin Echitzvah Yibu Minhu. Kamo Kavik Krisis, right? The Gemara seems to say that not only is there a mamzer, not only is there a lack of Tzitzis Kedushin for Rabbi Kiva, but Rabbi Kiva is really of the opinion that Chai De Lavin are Mufka Miyibom V'Chalitza. That's what it seems like. Hacha says Tosis in this Gemara here on the Testament Aleph, the Arel, later on in the Ayin Testament Beis, Gavi Psua Dako, Krushavcha, the Perigdal Misos in Sanhedrin. Okay, that's all the introduction. What's the problem? The Tema, Lari. We ask, Damai lo mina nami lo Rabbi Kiva, the Lesi Asei, the Livki lo Sasei. Why should it be so? Bishlam the Chachamim, they're dealing with Erban and Mamzer and lack of Tzitzis Kedushin, but there's also Chavik Krisus. So you have Yivam on one side and Chavik Krisus on the other, and he can't move. But according to Rabbi Kiva, why don't you just say Asei no Chalos Asei? Because it doesn't answer the question. But if you look, not last week's Mar Makomos, which we'll get back to in a minute, but 2 weeks ago's Mar Makomos, or 3 weeks ago, whatever it was. Look on, on the second page. Everybody have that? The one that starts not the new group, but Chidushi Rabban Yivamos Gimel Amid Aleph. What's the number?
Ooh, that's the second one.
Oh, that's only second one? Yes. Oh, okay. So the Chidush Rabban Masechet Yevamos Taf Tes Amud Aleph. So page 2. So Tosfos says, if the Rabban says, Hare Yisro Mitzvah Yisro Kedushin Pligi Rabbi Kiva Rabban Do Rabbi Kiva Lo Miabin Hikshu B'Tosfos Minolan Do Rabbi Kiva Lo Miabin. Why should there be no Yibum for Chai De'Labin for Rabbi Kiva? Name the Osi Asei, the Dachi Lo Sasei. Same question as Tosfos. Daha, after all, Afilu Chai De'Krisis Lo Tavsi B'Kedushin Hava Mina De'La Yabmu Ilav Mishum De'Lo Osi Asei V'Docha Lo Sasei De'Karis. Wouldn't we say, even for the Chachamim, that if not for the rule of Ein Asei Docha Lo Sasei She'esh Bakares, we would say that even Chai De'Krisis would be Nidcha Mitnei Mitzvah Yibum. That's Ramban's question. Yishlomar, he answers, the Rabbi Kiva, Goli Rachmana Barayos, Behu Adim Lechai De'Lavin. Right? If they're Chai if Arayos is Mufka from Yivam B'Chalitza, and Rabbi Kiva thinks that Chai De'Lavin are Arayos, then Arayos have the same din. Chai De'Lavin have the same din. The Kol D'Lo Tavsi B'Kedushin Mapki Zika. If there's no Tfisas Kedushin, which according to Rabbi Kiva there isn't in Chai De'Lavin, then there's no Zika for Yibum either. Then he admits, though, Bakati Kashi Ad Svara, Hei Chashamim L'Rabbi Kiva, the Makshin Amin Alehen. How do you know this? Right? He's just saying it, but how do you know it? So the Rajba says, we know it. Yeah, but Mesorah, look at the Rajba, it says pretty much the same thing. The next piece. Are Isa Mitzvah Isa Kedushin Pligo of Kibra Abana Lomid Rabbi Kiva Kimid Isla Ein Kedushin Tosin B'chai B'Laban Habalu Chai B'Krisus Laban Echalitza Yibum Hikshu B'Tosis Minol Under Rabbi Kiva Lami Admin Neima Otsa Asei V'Docha Lo Sasei Tafilu Chai B'Krisus Lo Tafsi Kedushin Abra Minin. I'm just reading it quickly because it's the same thing. The Yama Yilav Damina Lo Otsa Asei V'Dachi Lo Sasei Shesh Bakar Dei Shlomo Rabbi Kiva Goli Rachmana B'Chai B'Krisus Lo Tafsi Kedushin Hua Dil Chai B'Laban Be'inu Dahavet B'Ki Bid Rabbi Kiva. Those Rabbi Akiva experts out there, right? Inu Yadin, they know, they have a Mesorah, that Rabbi Akiva can have the Sfirole. Lepikach Makshu Achalahedja, Berachti Bayosu Belikutin Shali, He means his tshuvas. The Tosa Rosh has a slightly different formulation. If you look at the next piece, he says, "Ari Yisro Mitzvah Yisro Kedushin of Pli Rabbi Kiva Rabbanan." But Kol Dichti Pashut Lan the Talmud of Mishum Rabbi Kiva Sfir Le Dein Kedushin Tosa B'Kayv Elavim. Then you need the Chalitzanam Mikachay B'Krisus Tomi Kedamash Malchi. Ula Kamam B'Perikah Arel B'Dalim Misos Mechti Chay B'Elavim Rabbi Kiva Kachay B'Krisus Tomi V'Chay B'Krisus Lav B'Nei Chalitza. Ubisota Perikah Yemevi Nami Amirin Rabbi Kiva Shemeres Yom Shizin Satsur Livama Keshesi Shizin Sat. This is all background. Exactly what Tosa said. Now the Tema question. Mina le ha le Talmuda, nay the linyan tvisas kedushin, the linyan mamzerus mash Rabbi Kiva chayv lavin ke chayv krisos. Just because Rabbi Kiva equates chayv lavin and chayv krisos when it comes to mamzer and tvisas kedushin, but linyan iba mamai lo kama Rabbi Kiva the leisi asay belit chilos asay. Here we should say that you have a clash, and according to the clashing rules that even Rabbi Kiva agrees to, the yibum should override, right? The lav, so the Tos Rosh gives him two answers. The Eish Metartzim Shema Kimla the Talmuda the Rabbi Kiva Sfirle Karebi the Mapik Arayus Mivelokcha the Chayde Lavin Lav Bar Lekicha Hein Alib Rabbi Kiva. This is a little bit of an advance on the Ramban and the Rashba. I mean, what they're saying is that he has a different limud. His limud emphasizes that what's important in Yibum B'Chalitza is the capacity in such a case to have tzvisas kedushin. If kedushin will be chal under these conditions, then yibum will be chal, or at least chalitza. The Tosa Rosh says v'yesh shalom arken. You can't say that. The perek chagod l'omid rabbanan demunvas dan Rabbi Kiva darish Torah achas l'kid Rabbi Shua ben Levi the kivin enof galechai v'krisis with Rabbi Shua ben Levi m'kein darish shilah l'tzaros b'leisa hod. He has a specific problem with this limud from the Gemara in Shabbos. Okay. Rabbeinu Meir kasa. Rabbeinu Meir is usually the Maram of Wurttemberg. The Rosh was a Talmud of Maram Wurttemberg. So Rabbeinu Meir kasam the Shema Kivin Rabbi Kiva Dorish Lo Yigale Kenaf Aviv Lanusa Saviv Iskash La Eishas Aviv the Sibba Ukra Ma Eishas Aviv Erba Belabatz Kalitza V'Yibum Afanusa Saviv Nami. What's even more explicit in the Tosas HaRosh than it is in the Ramban and the Rajba, although all three are struggling to say the same thing, basically what they're all saying is that what's koveya for Yibum B'Chalitza, although we didn't know this to begin with, is not the rule of Asei Docha Los Asei V'Ein Asei Docha Los Asei Sheish Bokaris. What's koveya is Erva. Erva. Now the question is, why should Erva be... There's no Pasuk, is there? I mean, where's the Pasuk? Maybe there's a Pasuk, we'll get to that in a minute. Right? But I think more to the point is, what they understand is that the problem is a relationship problem. Meaning you want to justify Yibum. So the Torah was Mechadesh, that the Isur of Eishes Ach, right, sister-in-law, which is normally a prohibited relationship, in the context of Lahakim, Lahakim, Shem B'Yisrael, is not only permissible, but is an obligation. It's an imperative. It actually is lach and lach and shame. It's not a rivalry to the brother. It's fulfilling, right, his legacy. Right? But, if anything, in order to make sure that that's what this is all about, we have to, as that's what I've been trying to explain for the last few weeks, we have to be very careful. Right? We have to be very cautious not to walk, not to pass that line, right, into Znus and Erba. So what this is about is not just the mitzvah of Yibum overriding, you know, a surmountable Yisurin. It's about trying to figure out how far we can push the mitzvah of Yibum, right, as a concept of Kedushas Ishus. And therefore, anytime you encounter Erva, right, even if it's only Balav, according to Rabbi Kiva, that's the end of the story. You can never justify that. And that's what these Rishonim are saying. So what we're saying is Nida is Kares, right? Without being a relationship Erva problem. And Rabbi Kiva is a relationship Erva problem without Kares. Similarly, that's the Gemara Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that, and this is what we talked about in the Tosfos on Gimel Amud Beis, right, the Gemara here, Yud Aleph from Aleph, says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, this is 3, 6, 9, 11 lines from the bottom, up from the bottom of the page, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Tzara Sota, Asura, Tumak Zivbo Karayos. That's an amazing halacha. Right, there's a whole topic. I mean, it's much more complicated than I'm making it. But what the Gemara says is the following: if a wife betrayed her husband, she's a sota, so she's asura alav. Right, that's the isur labat. Fine, but what does that have to do? Let's say he dies before he divorces her. Didn't get a chance to divorce her. He dies. He leaves no children. Is she skuka liyibum? That's the question. Now, the yabam, on the surface, has no relationship with her whatsoever. She's not his sota. Right? So you would think, that's number one. Number two, if there isn't Issa Labal, the Issa Labal is at most alav. Right? And ase is doche, los ase. So number one, the lav applies to the baal, not to the yab. Number two, even to the baal, it's only alav. If, see, for some magical reason, somehow you could just close your eyes and forget that this happened to the Baal and not the Yavam, and you would just substitute the Yavam for the Baal, or say, oh, he's taking over his Isha, so that's the problem, or something like that, right? It's still only Chayv Elavim. Right? Nonetheless, the Gemara says that since the Torah uses the expression Tuma, it's Erva, and therefore not only Chayv Elavim, but even the fact that it's the brother's Chayv, it's the brother's Erva, it's Koveya. Now, it can get better than this. According to some Rishonim, I just don't want to get too bogged down right now. All right, Ramban has a line where he says, this erva is only legabe diyavam. Right? That's just an amazing idea. It's the Ramban on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. To explain certain things going on in this Gemara. But the point is, once again, what do we have? Erva without Isur, certainly without Karas. Maybe without Isur. In some sense. Right? Because let's say he actually is involved with her. Let's say he goes ahead. So is it even a lav? Maybe, I don't know. It's not so clear. Some Rishonim say yes, but it's not clear. Certainly not for everybody. It's erva, certainly without kavanos, maybe without lav. So we have a bunch of these cases. Tosfos on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, which we talked about already, discusses a similar problem, Leboel. Right, what would happen?
So the yibum would be tosas. She's not having it.
I'm sorry?
There would be
pisas. It's not clear. It's not, probably not. I think not. I mean, put it this way. I think not. The ritva, b'shem hara'ah, and one line in the Meiri think yes. That, you know, that the, what would they call, b'yir rishona would be ha. But I think the simple pshat of the Gemara and the most Rishonim said it would not.
So would the Velav be a manzer then?
No, no, forget about Riyam Pasla Kahu. No. Velav is not a manzer from the Sota to the Baal either. That's the Gemara says on Mem Tesum Adais. Hako Modim Benida Ubesota. If you look at even Rabbi Akiva's Modim.
So I thought
the Velav
is a manzer whenever
Kiddushin
is not
focused. No. No, for Rabbi Akiva, usually, with the exception of, but that's the Gemara here. That's normally true.
Yeah, but it's okay, Kiddushin is not focused.
No, yeah, but according to.
According to what you just said.
No, I'm not sure.
If the Yavam married
Yibun,
if there was
Yibun. I'm not sure if there's even Chayv Elavim. But that's only according to Rabbi Akiva that Kiddushin would not be Tofes, if there was a Lav. But even then, that's an exception. The Gemara says that Sota and Nida are exceptions. That's the Gemara here. If you look very quickly, Mem Tes Omer Aleph, the bottom line of Mem Tes Omer Aleph. Omer Abaya. So the literally the last line of the page. Omer Abaya. Hakol Modim Bebo Ala Nida the Al HaSota She'en Avlad Mamzer Nida Da Tafsiba Kiddushin Shenemur Tehi Nida Sa'alav Afilu B'Shas Nida Sa'atafsiba Kiddushin Sotanami Da Tafsiba Kiddushin. That's the if you look at even Rabbi Akiva, These are exceptions to that rule, even for Rabbi Akiva. Never mind Rav Chochma. Anyways, the Tosafot and Gimel and Beis discuss the problem of the Boel. Like, what happens if somebody breaks up someone else's marriage, right? She then marries, no, it's her second marriage is to his brother. He dies childless, right? And now the Yavam is the Boel. That's the 2 days of Tosafot that we discussed 2 weeks ago. Once again, there's only a lav. There's no kares. Question is, what about Yibam? Okay. Anyways, let's continue with the Gemara now. Because now we'll see some other things. Okay. So in terms of the Gemara itself, we're up to Gimel and Beis. What's that? Okay. I think you're saying something poetic, maybe. Or...
Sorry.
I thought there was something poetic that you were about to... Minoni Mil. Okay.
It's a pagan in the
bed,
right?
Say again?
It's pagan in the bed, you say, right? If they have a
child. So that's the question. Nida, for sure, there's something called pogum. Rambam right. Called pogum.
Right.
The question,
right.
What does it mean? Right. We don't know exactly what it means. Not mamzer,
no,
but something.
Right.
So yeah, that's the Rambam says pogum.
So maybe by
Yavam too. It's hard to know. Maybe.
You
know, they don't say it.
If you get a pagam from the offspring, so, you know, you're not...
I'm not lock and shame.
Yeah, you're not accomplishing, though.
It's interesting. I don't see anybody say that idea, but it's an interesting suggestion. It's very possible. Minoni Mili, this is seven lines down the last acronym on the line. Minoni Mili. So what's the Minoni Mili going on? The Mishnah. What does the Mishnah tell us? Three dinim, right? Number one, the 15 erbas are mufka miyibam mechalitza. Number two, not only are they excluded, these 15 relationships, right? But they are co-wives as well. Another, one more time, just to remind us what it is. You know, so you have Reuven and Shimon, right? Reuven is married, and he has two wives. One of his wives is Shimon's daughter, meaning Reuven's niece. Reuven married his niece and someone else. Reuven dies, leaves no children, right? And now Shimon is facing, as a Yibum candidate, his daughter and another woman. So his daughter is excluded. She's one of the 15. No Yibum, no Chalitza. And the co-wives of his daughter are excluded as well. And then there's a third din, and that is if there's a Levi. So if the co-wife, I mean, not his daughter, not Shimon's daughter, but the other wife of Reuven, right, went and did Yibum with Levi, and Levi had two wives, and then Levi dies without children, and so then Shimon cannot even do Yibum with the second wife of Levi. She's tainted by being connected with the second wife of Reuven. That's called Erva, Tzara, and Tzara, Tzara. And you can keep going. Atzofol. Okay, good. So now when the Gemara says Minoni Mili, right, how do you know what's a Mokar? So Rashi says, just to explain that, Rashi says Minoni Mili of all these three things. Minoni Mili, de Erva, de Tzarasa, de Tzaras, Tzarasa, Leolam, Peturos. How do you know that when you have an Erva, the Erva is excluded, the co-wife is excluded, and the co-wife of the co-wife is excluded. Right? That's how Rashi reads the Gemara. Okay, now we're getting to the source. The Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara says, Isha el achosa, lo sikach mitzrar legalo servasa alel bechayel. Okay, now this is a pasuk. I have the Gemara that I have in front of me. You know, these new Gemaras, so they do, one of the good things that they do is they quote the whole pasuk, you know. So I have it here. The Isha lachosa lo sikach litzror legalos ervasa leal b'chayeha. The Gemara quotes the whole pasuk too in this case. Is a pasuk in Achrimos, in the parsha of Arayos. Okay, so that's a very packed pasuk, as you can see. What do you mean, Isha elachosa? I mean, you can't be involved with a woman, right, and her sister at the same time. But what is the litzror? Right, what sort of literally means to bundle, right? Legalo servasa, and then it's the word aleha, which is a superfluous word, right? Bichayeha. So the Gemara says, Aleha ma Talmud Lomar. Why the added word, Aleha? Ah, so the Gemara says an amazing thing. Lepisha Nemar, it's supposed to remind you when you hear the words, the superfluous word, Aleha, right? It's supposed to resonate in your ear, right? Another pasuk in Devarim, right? Yavama, Yavo, Aleha. But that's how drushas work, right? The drushas aren't, they're not arbitrary, right? When you hear that extra word Aleha in Achrimos, it should remind you of the Aleha, which is so prominent in Ibum. So meaning, Shameani afilu bi'achas mikol arayas v'amurus patora kosamadaber. When the Torah says, Yavama, Yavo, Aleha, right, you should consummate the Ibum Aleha. Right, so you might think, no matter what, because after all, you're already violating Eishasach anyway. Why are you doing that? Because the overriding urgency of L'Hakim L'Hakim Shein B'Yisrael. So, what's going to stop you? Right? If you're already defying Dinei Erva, Dinei Parshas Achrimos, then you might as well just, go for it no matter what. Aleha. Right? So, Nemar Kan Aleha. Nemar Lahalan Aleha. Ma Lahalan B'Makom Mitzvah Afkan B'Makom Mitzvah B'Amar Rachmana Lo Sikach. When the Torah says Aleha, right, so we're supposed to understand that means that's a reference to Yibum. And then when you read the Parsha in Achrimos, and the Torah says that you shouldn't be bundling, and you shouldn't be bundling, or you shouldn't be involved with a sister-in-law, right, and litzror Aleha, bundling on her, whatever that means, right, so you're supposed to understand that what that means is, even in a situation of Yibum, the Makom Mitzvah, even when there's an Aleha situation, right, a Yibum situation, there's still the impediment, the obstacle of Achos Isha. So Achos Isha, which is very fascinating, is the source that Yibum doesn't apply, right, in the 15 Arayos. Then the Gemara says, Ve'en li Elohi, right, maybe that's true only for Achos Isha, namely, if your wife, sister, no, it's two brothers married to sisters, right? So, Reuven's wife, right, who's the sister-in-law, double sister-in-law of Shimon, meaning his wife's, his brother's wife and his wife's sister, both, because he married two brothers married two sisters. So now, we're being told that even in the Yibum situation, he can't be miyabem her. Right? So, ainli elahi. But sarasa minai. How do you know that if there's another wife, that he can't marry her, he can't do the Yibum on her either? Talmud lomar litzror. That's where the bundling comes in. It's a bundle reference. Right? Not only are you not allowed to be involved with Achos Isha, but not with the tzror, the tzara of Achos Isha either. Now, there are two girsos here. Rashi originally said, Minani Mili, how do I know three things? Right? Her tzara, and the tzara of the tzara. So that's how, if you have that girso, then you read on. Ve'eli ela tzarasa, tzaras tzarasa minayin, tamaloma litzror, velo latzur. The gra, if you look on the side, Eli ela tzarasa, tzara tzarasa minayin, tamaloma litzror, velo latzur. He says, "Chayn pasul b'sefer Yashua ben Rutam u'bechidush Ramban de lo gar sinama." Then he discusses Rashi and Yud Gimel, Aleph, and so on. Meaning, there's some question whether or not the Gemara here is also asking about tzara's tzara, or once you know tzara, you automatically know tzara's tzara, and we'll explain that in just a minute. Okay. Either way, so the source of erva being excluded from Yibum is Achos Isha. So I don't know if I made this comment here or not, but it always occurs to me that maybe it's not a coincidence. There are two sisters-in-law, right? There's Eshes Achiv, his brother's wife, and there's another sister-in-law, his wife's sister, right? One is the model of Yibum, and the other is the source for the limits of Yibum. Maybe just a coincidence, or maybe not a coincidence, in the following ways. Number one, as the Rishali points out, right, there's a Kal V'chomer to be made. There's something similar to Achos Isha and Eshes Ach on the Kula side, which is why you might have thought that Achos Isha, like Eshes Ach, should be more flexible. What's the Kula? The Kula is that they're both artificial relationships, A, meaning they're not blood relationships, and B, in addition to that, and because of that, although there are other cases where you have artificial relationships but you still don't have this result, there are circumstances of Heter. Right? In the case of Eshes Ach, the circumstances of Heter are Yibum. Right? If the brother dies and there are no children, then there's a Heter. And the Gemara later on Daf Nun Dalet on the base, has a remarkable, remarkable line, always worth knowing anyway, where the Gemara says, Mark points out that the Torah links Eshes Ach with Nida. We can appreciate these things so much better now because we've talked individually about some of these categories, right? So the Gemara says as follows. Nun Dalet on the base, somebody have that? On the first wide line, Isha Shayikachas Eshes Achiv Nidahi. Dechi Eshes Achiv Nidahi? What does it mean? Eshes Achiv, the wife of his brothers, a Nida. Ella Kinida. Ma Nida Apapishi Eshla Hetel Achar Mikan, Bishasi Sura Bakares. Ap Eshes Achnani Apapishi Eshla Hetel Achar Mikan, Bechaye Bala Kares. A remarkable Gemara, remarkable interpretation of a very fascinating pasuk. Meaning, Nida, right, you might have thought, you know, what we're saying is, Nida comes in and out of the state of Nida, as we know, right? So, just because, you know, in the future she'll be Muteres, right, doesn't alter the fact that in the present she's Asura. And that's what we're supposed to take away. You might have thought, oh, in the context of Yibum, there's Heter. So maybe there should be Heter even not in the context of Eshesach. Kamashmo. The Yerushalmi, in the beginning of Yevamos, discusses this in a slightly different way, based on the drasha of the Sifra. Right? You might have thought that since there is Yibum, maybe Yibum is just a Heter, but even outside of Yibum, right, well, maybe one would have thought that only when the brother is alive, there's an Iser of Eshes Ach. Maybe when the brother dies, there's no obligation, right, but there's no Iser. Yerushalmi entertains that possibility. Yerushalmi says it's wrong, but they try to explain why it's wrong. Right. In other words, a good chunk of Masechet Yevamos is about trying to figure out the question, you know, what do we mean when we say that Yibum overrides Eshes Ach? So our normal tendency is to start off with this something implacable called Eshes Ach, because we know the halakha. The halakha is, even when the brother dies, right, if he doesn't leave children, it doesn't matter. The status of Eshes Ach is Leola. Gerushin doesn't help, Misa doesn't help. The only thing that helps is Misa B'libadim and Yibum, right? But another way to look at the problem is to look at it from the opposite perspective. There's Yibum, so maybe the exception to the rule is Eshes Ach. And with Yerushalmi in the beginning of the Masechta has this discussion, so they're really saying, you know what, how do we even know that there's an Iser Eshes Ach when he dies or divorce? You know it from Yibum. All we know from Yibum is that there's an obligation. Maybe it is neither an obligation nor an Iser. This is in perspective. So in a way, the Gemara Daf and the Dalet on the base is playing with that as well. You might think, just because there's Heter Yibum, that should impact even when there's no Yibum. Kamashma, like Nida, right? She's a Nida, there's Chayvei Krisus, which is not a Nida, there's not Chayvei Krisus. Why am I telling all this? The other one is, one of the few other ones, is Achos Isha. Except there it's even more flexible in a way, more and less. You don't have anything like Yibum, but what you do have is, if it's a divorce, the Iser of Achos Isha still applies. But if there's a death, if the wife dies, then there's no Isur Akos Isha. So the Rishalmi says, if even Akos Isha is Mufka Mi'ibum, even though there is a heter of Akos Isha, namely when the sister dies, then certainly more implacable Erevas are going to be excluded as well. So on one level, that's a common denominator, right? The two sisters-in-law each had a heter, one in the context of Yibum, I'm just trying to discuss how far it goes, and Havabinas and so on, the other in the context of Misas. Of course, you might say, well, once the sister dies, maybe there's no shame Akos Isha anymore. Unless she's alive even after Gerushin, so there's Akos Isha, and as long as there's Akos Isha, she's Asura. The second there's no longer Akos Isha, maybe the shame is Paka. It's not that, in other words, there's a heter as much as that the case is gone. That's an open question. Either way, that's one aspect. But I think the other aspect is Dafka to highlight the contrast and in the following way. Meaning, in both cases, we're talking about sisters-in-law. Right? The sister-in-law that's subject to Yibum, and the sister-in-law, right, which is going to be an impediment to Yibum. And in a way, you can totally understand why. Because the Akos Isha problem, right, is in part, at least, a problem in the marriage. So you're going to what? You're going to ensure the legacy of your brother by marrying your sister-in-law, right, in a way that is damaging or disrupting to your marriage, right? So in a sense, because of the as my speculation, because of the similarity, right, of the relationship, the fact that we draw the line right there highlights that it isn't a technicality. It's all about kedushas isha shoyibo. You can't do one at the expense of the other. Okay. Either way, let's continue the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Eli ala achos isha shar rayos minayin. Maybe only achos isha. In light of what I just said, and later on I should also add, the Gemara of Zayin and Daf Ches seems to consider the possibility that achos isha, right, might be unique. There might be reasons to think that it's different. It's also here on, see in a moment, on the bottom of Gimel and Beis, Dalet and Aleph, thinks there's a special relationship between Achos Isha and Eishes Ach, which, for both reasons that I just described, A, the flexibility, B, the similarity, yet contrast, right, may be true. Either way. So the Gemara says here, how do you know other Arayos? Meaning maybe only Achos Isha. So the Gemara says, Amris. Ma achos isha miyuchedes shehi erva v'chayavin al zonah karis al shigas achatas v'yasur liyadeim. What is the theme of achos isha? Erva, kares, and that's enough for isa yibum. Av kol shehi erva v'chayavin al zonah karis al shigas achatas asura liyadeim. That's a paradigm. In the Yerushalmi they have it a little bit differently, but that's what the Gemara says. Then the Gemara says, the ainli Elohein, Sorosein Minayin, what about their Tsoros? So this is very fascinating. The Gemara had a Habamina, that Tsoros, the din of Tsoros, maybe that the co-wives are excluded as well, is limited to Achos Isha. Because that's what the Pasuk says, Aleha, right, Letzror. But why would you think it would be limited to Achos Isha? Oh, so let's go back for a minute and talk about Tsoros, just for a minute. And then we'll speak more about it as we go forward. But we've already talked about it a little bit. The whole idea of co-wives, of tsaros, is fascinating. Because, as we explained, it's similar to what we talked about in Sota, Tumak, Ziba, Karayos. Shimon, right? Shimon's daughter was married to Reuven. Reuven married his niece. Right? He had two wives. So we understand very well why Shimon, right, cannot do Yibum with his daughter. That would be obscene. That would be incestuous, correct? But what's wrong with the co-wife? Right? She's not related to him in any way. Oh. And indeed, Beis Shammai, in the Mishnah Daf Yud Gimel and Aleph, says that it's wrong. The din of tzaros is a wrong, it's a chumrah that's not correct. So what's the basis for it? So broadly speaking, there are a lot of details. There could be two explanations, two broad explanations. One is, whenever there's a significant impediment to Yibum, or at least to Zikas Yibum even more so, what happens is the Isra of Eishes Ach kicks in. And once there's no Eishes Ach, right, then it's not Midin Tzara anymore. It's not that she's a co-wife of my daughter. Because of my daughter, there's no automatic Zika. And if there's no Zika, what is there? It's Kihilu Eishes Ach Sheyeshlo Banim. And Eishes Ach Sheyeshlo Banim is Erva. So my daughter and her co-wife turn into sisters-in-law as if they were children. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is that's not what happens here. Even though it's true, there's no Zika or there's no Yibum, right? But nonetheless, there's no Eishes Ach because, you know, it's some other reason why we can't implement, you know, this din. So what's going on? The answer is there's something called a shame Tzaras Erva, by which we mean the link or the association between, right, the group of wives, the co-wives, contaminates all of them. If one of them is an Erva, then that association, that stigma, right, makes all of them off limits as candidates. It's a more formal din, Tzaras Erva ke'erva. Oh. So this Gemara, which says, just one more second, what did the Gemara think here? The Gemara had a hava mina that maybe we will say that when it comes to Achos Isha, there's a special din in addition to the impediment of Erva, of Tzaras Erva. But how do you know, because it says Litzror Aleha, but how do you know that the same din applies to other Erva? Now, if the reason that we were applying the din of Tzaras Erva is because whenever there's no Yibum or there's a problem in the Zika, what happens? Immediately it's Eishes Ach, then how could you be mechalik between Achos Isha and any other? Once you admit that there's not going to be Yibum and Chalitza because there's no Zika, because it's Erva, then what happens? Eishes Ach comes back with a vengeance. How could you, what difference does it make whether it's Achos Isha or Bito or Ima or Chamiv? Shouldn't make any difference. Apparently, the Gemara's Hava Mina, at least we don't know what the Maskana was, but the Gemara's Hava Mina, that you could say Tzaras Erva for Achos Isha, but not for others, is based on some formal category of Tzaras Erva. Then you might say, oh, the Torah speaks about Tzaras Erva in Achos Isha. Maybe they're real, maybe because it's an artificial relationship, Dafka. There might be explanations. Yeah.
So I just want to ask you, because you said you would revert to Eishes Ach. Doesn't that ignore that the real question is, why do you say that both of them fall together in Yibum?
Yeah.
What
links them? Why not say that one has Zika, the other doesn't have Zika?
Right. And that's true of the other explanation.
So I think I'm glad you brought that up. I think it's a good point. But I think that the answer is because the obligation here is to the brother. It's not to the brother's wife. Or another way to say that would be, it's to the brother's wives. It's not to each of the brothers. It's not to each wife of the brother. And therefore, we have in the context of Yibum, as opposed to other contexts, and that's a way of explaining the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph and the Gemara, which we already read a little bit on Gimel Amud Aleph, which is, the Gemara says, there are six other Arayos Chamuros, right, where there's no Yibum, and you should know that even according to Beis Hillel, there's no Din of Tzara. Which is the Gemara's way of saying, and in different places the Gemara formulates this in slightly different ways, there's no Din of Tzaras Erba outside of Yibum. Only in Yibum do we have such a concept. Why would you think that there would be? And once you explain why there would be, why isn't there? Right? Meaning, let's say the following scenario takes place. My son-in-law, right, has two wives. Right, he's married to my daughter, right, and he's married to some pre-rabbinic Gershom, of course, and he's married to someone else, okay, and he dies. So, is there any problem of me marrying his second wife. So the Mishnah says, on Daf Yud Gimel, Amud Aleph, you might have thought that this is a din of Tsaras Erva Shalom Malkom Yibum. Right? But it's not true. What do they think, and why isn't it true? Now, what they thought was that there's this idea of Tsaras Erva, shame Tsaras Erva, because there's no Eishes Ach there. Right? There's no problem with Eishes Ach. They just thought that, you know what, we don't want to in any way insinuate ourselves into the marriage of an Erva. Not just into the Erva's marriage, but into the bigger picture as well. Right? They're all living together, they're all, you know, one household. If one of them is an Erva, there's something called Tsaras Erva. So why should that be applied only to Yibum? Right? If you think that the problem of Tsaras Erva is based on Eishes Ach, then there's nothing to talk about. This is ridiculous. There's no Eishes Ach here. But if it's a concept of Tsaras Erva, what's wrong? So what's the answer? We don't say it. Now we explain why you might say it. Why don't you say it? So it can be for one of two reasons. One is, because the whole concept just doesn't exist. There's no such thing as Tsaras Erva. All there is Eishes Ach. And that's only B'makom Yibum Shel Mitzvah. When the mitzvah goes sour, you're back to Eishes Ach. Or, and this is where your point is very important, no, the concept of Tsaras Erva, separate from Eishes Ach, is valid. But, in the case where it's not a Yibum case, why should we be looking at all the wives as a unit? In Yibum, we look at all the wives as a unit because it's one Zika. Because it's something that it's my obligation to my brother, Lahakin Lakacha, and his wives as a unit. The Zika's one, the brother's one, these are uniting factors. But outside of Yibum, there's nothing to unite. He has this wife, he has that wife, he has the other wife. Why is it a sisterhood? Or a wifehood? Right? And therefore, there's no shame, sorrow, serva. That's the idea. Okay. This is going to be important for a minute to explain something else.
What
does
the
Shema
do with
Litzra?
Nothing?
The Gemara later on, I think Gimel has some other limud for it. For, yeah. Okay. So let's continue. The Gemara does it again on Tsaras Tsar, you'll see in a moment. Where are we up to?
Here.
Mikano b'chachamim, is that where we're up to? No, one second. Vei v'alahein, so we're saying minayin, that's what it is, right? Omris machos, yishem yuchedashi, erba v'cheyev, and alzdona, karis, alshigas, akatas, v'yatsura liyam, v'tsaras, asura, avkoshi, erba v'cheyev, and alzdona, karis, alshigas, akatas, v'yatsura liyam, v'tsaras, asura. Fine. That's now the Gemara saying again, it's all the same. So are we just saying, yeah, it's a din of shame Tsaras Erva, this Mekudash idea, but it's not limited to Achos Isha, why should it be? Or are we saying there's no such din of Tsaras Erva as a shame? Tsaras Erva is Eishes Ach. That's why it applies equally no matter what the Erva. Okay. Mikan Omru Chachamim Chameshes Reinashim Potros Tsaroseim V'Tsaros Tsaroseim V'Nachalitzim V'Yibum Ad Sofa Ola. The Gemara says, Yachal Shani Marbe Ap Shesh Arayus Chamuras Me'enu Sheyu Tsaroseim Asura. That's exactly what we were just talking about when we had in Gimel and Aleph. Once again, maybe there should be a din of Tsaros not only in Yibum but in some other Erevas like Kalaso and Bito and Emo. There's a Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, which again would imply Tsaras Erva as a concept, as a category, rather than Eishes Ach. So the Gemara says, Omris Machos Ishtam Yuchedashi Erva V'chayav and Alzona Karis Hoshim Basakatas Ve'efshali Nasev Achim. This is another way of saying, and there's Yibum, there's the mitzvah Yibum, the Asura Liyadim, but in this case it's Asur, Vitzaras Asura, Apkol Shi Erva Mechayav and Alzona Karis Hoshim Basakatas, the Efshali Nasev Achim Asura Liyadim, Tsaras Asura. Yatsu Sheish Arayos Kamuros, to exclude the six which are the ones mentioned in the Mishnah Yigimah, which are not be evil. He can't be evil because the six are arayos that apply equally to all the brothers. For example, let's say the erva of the father's wife. Right? The father's wife can never be married to any brother from the father. Right? So it can never be an evil situation. Because whether it's the natural mother or the stepmother, right, it's prohibited forever. So any brother from the father can never be married to such a woman. So that's one of the Sheish Arayos, the Chamuros of the Mishnah. You give us all examples like that. Hold the Yafshon Nasi L'Achim Tzaraseim Mutaros She'ein Tzara Ella Me'ach. And here there's an interesting Tosis Hashanim, actually. Tosis Hashanim says, you know, why the excessive verbiage here? You know, the language is just very repetitive. You know, what did it say? Outside of Yibum, finish. There's no So be cautious. I have it on here. I don't know if we all have the same Surah Sadaf or not, but for me, it's on the Tosi Shonim has on both sides of the page here. I don't know if you have the same daf I do, but be cautious. Am I Yitzchak Lemer Shein Tzara Elameyach Belo Sogi Behoil VeYefshal Inos Eliachin? The Tosi Shonim is something like there's too much. The formulation is too complex here. What's going on? Skip down a little. He says, "V'efshal etarets the itzrich dilo hava amar ella yatsu sheish arayos hava mina hanis sheish arayos who's itzarosay mutaros to efshu lemehevin b'makom mitzvah hava b'hanach tezvav hava mina zahol v'hava b'makom mitzvah d'makilu shalom b'makom mitzvah tzarosay nasuros." This is an astonishing Tosi Shonim, but it's right up the alley of what we were just talking about. Tosi Shonim says, "I might have thought there are two lists of erva now. There's a list of 15 in our Mishnah." In the context of Yibum. And there's a list of six where you can never have Yibum because they're related on the father's side, and the Achim for Yibum are always on the father's side, right? So the Tosi Shonim said, "I might have thought, if not for the excessive, repetitive language of the Gemara, that the Gemara is making a distinction between the 15 and the six. But the 15 have a din of Tzaras Erba, even Shalom Makom Yibum." In other words, If let's talk about the daughter, right? So the point is, let's say your daughter married somebody, right? The next door neighbor, not related. Your daughter married the next door neighbor. He also had another wife, right? Are you ever allowed to marry your daughter's former co-wife? Nothing to do with Yibum. Right? So the Tosi Shonim says that one might have thought that there would be such a prohibition because it's one of the 15. Right? Now, what the Gemara means to say, the Maskana, is that there's no din of shein tzaras erva. It's not per se the fact that they're all in one marriage, so that makes her a tzaras erva and that makes her aser. Rather, if they're all in one marriage, so if even one, right, is mufka legamri, so then there's no yibum, there's eishasach, and each one of them is an eishasach. So then there's no yichus to the 15 beyond the 6. The yichus to the 15 beyond the 6 is simply the context of Yibum, the fact that they're married to your brother in the Zayishasach. But why would you ever think that the 15 somehow, right, are more of a Tzoras Erba problem, Shalom Makom Mitzvah, right, but if you say that it's about the Shein Tzoras Erba, even the Maskana, so then we might say, listen, Linyan Yibum, there's something called a tzaras bito. There's never anything ever called a tzaras emo or a tzaras eshes aviv. Right? Because there just can never be such a thing. But in the context of Yibum, there can be tzaras bito. There can be tzaras kaviv. Right? So maybe that shame, even though it's particularly acute in Yibum, right, is kav, is chalos, even outside of Yibum. That's an amazing. Kamashmalot, it's not true. So once again, it's not true because only thing that exists is Eishes Hach, or just, you know, the idea is still correct, but it needs the context of Yibum, of one Zika, of the responsibility to the brother to bind everybody together. Okay. Very interesting, I say, habits. Okay. Next. So the Gemara says, where are we now? Shamanu Onesh. I'm sorry, Azara Shamanu, Onesh Minayin, sorry. This is an Azara. How do you know this is an Onesh? What do they mean by Onesh? It's not like Karas. So here, you know, we have a little bit of an issue. If we say that all of Tzara's Erba's Midin Eshazach, right? So the question is a little hard to understand, but the answer will be fine. Right? Omar Kro, Ki Kol Isha Shoye Aseh, Mikol HaToivos V'Nikrosa. So maybe the chat is, why is it Kares? Because the Kiddush is that it's Eshazach. And once it's Eshazach, it's the regular Eshazach, which is Kares. However, if you take the view that there's something called Saras Erva, right, it's not Midin Eshazach, and the Gemara is really substantial because the Gemara is saying there are Yechayv Kares, even though there's no prohibited relationship. Unless it means that it starts off by being Saras Erva, and that's the reason that it becomes Eshazach. That's one possibility. Some Rishonim seem to have understood, and some Achronim certainly understood, that there's a special din in the context of Yibum that Saras Erba becomes Asur Ke'erba. That's just a mind-blowing idea. In other words, this not be the Midin Eshazach, right? Saras Bito now has the din in the context of Yibum, the Isur, the Onesh of Bito. Wow. Okay. Some Rishonim do seem to say it. Some Achronim say it anymore.
Would Vlad be a mamzer then?
What?
Would Vlad be a mamzer?
I doubt it, but at least the Onesh. I mean, is it enough to say that the Onesh is... I don't know. I don't think the Vlad would be a mamzer. I think that's pushing it too far. I'm not so happy with the whole idea. But the Achronim will really like it. There are a few Rishonim will imply it. I think a better way to explain, again, if you explain Tzara's Erba always in terms of Eishes Hach, it's much easier to understand. Not so much the question of the Gemara. What does the Gemara mean? Azara Shamanu Onesh Minayin. What do you mean? It's Eishes Hach, right? Maybe that's part of the transition. Being, maybe it's shame, and the Gemara says, no, it's Kares, i.e., it's Eishes Hach. Or what I said before, which is the shame Tzara is an impediment, it's an Erba, and there's no Yibum. Once that's true, independently, there's also going to be Eishes Hach. But the Eishes Hach is a result, it's not the cause. I prefer to read the Gemara that way. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, very difficult Gemara, as you can see. Very challenging Gemara. So then the Gemara says as follows. Tama de kasav rachmana aleha. Now the Gemara now gets the, you know, back to the our bigger topic, and this is one of the main punchlines of the Gemara. Tama de kasav rachmana aleha. Well, remember what we did in this Gemara, Minan Emili. What was the Gemara asking? How do you know the din of the Mishnah? At least two of the three, depending on what your girsa is, right? How do you know that an erba is not subject to Yibum? Correct? And even Tzaras erba and Tzaras may be also not subject to Yibum. So the Gemara is saying, because there's a concept of Aleha. Fine. So the Gemara says, and without that, we wouldn't know this din. Tama the kasav rachmana aleha halav without aleha hava mina achos isha miyabemes. You would have thought that the sister-in-law, the other sister-in-law, achos isha would be subject to yibum. My time, but why? On what basis? Damrina and asi ase bedochi los ase. Ema damrina and asi ase bedochi los ase greida los ase sheish bakares midochi. Right? Gemara says, and without a zeres akasuv, you would think that an erva would be subject to Yibum, but it's an asay docha los asay sheish bakares. That doesn't work. Then the Gemara, for the next three dapim, right, discusses the rule of ase doka lo ase, and tries to figure out yesh bakares or ein bakares, and so on. Okay, we're not going to get bogged down with that for now. But that's the next three and a half dafim is about here and in Nazir. There are a few like major gemaras in Shas. This is one of them about ase doka lo ase. But let's step back for a moment and understand the implications of the question and analyze it a little further. So what's the Gemara really saying? Why do you need a limud? Right? This din of the Mishnah should be understood on the basis of the normal rules of clashing. Now, in light of the work that we've done, we really appreciate this question. Because this is exactly what we've been talking about all along. Right? We've been trying to figure out whether or not the impediments to even the chalitza are a consequence of, right, the rules of ase doka lo ase, or something more is going on here, namely, it's about who is an appropriate yibum candidate, given yibum as a form of ishus. Maybe it's part of what we call the dechuya hutra problem. So we've discussed, nida has kares, and yet, right? The sota doesn't have kares in the other direction, and yet, for Rabbi Akiva, there's no kare, there's ase dechalos ase, but there's no tzvitzos kiddushin, and it's erva, right? And so on and so forth. That's what we've been discussing. This is exactly the Gemara's issue. The Gemara said, what do you mean? If you ask me the answer to the Gemara's question, right, I would say, Inochanami, from an ase doka lo ase point of view, kares is excluded. But that doesn't tell the whole story. Because if the whole issue is only ase doka lo ase, right, then there'll be cases of erva, right, where yiva will be chal. But if it's based on aleha, maybe there's a concept that transcends the din of ase doka lo ase, or an issue that the Achronim raise. What happens in Avar, right, v'yibay? In Avar v'yibay, do you get a mitzvah of yibum? Is there a kinyan? Do you violate Yisur of Eishasach? If you hold that the only thing that we have to contend with is the clash, the pressure and the counter-pressure, ase on the one side and los ase sheish bakaris on the other, so then it's not so simple. I'm not saying it's simple the other way, but at least not so simple. If you do an ase when you're not allowed to, let's say ase keneged lav sheish bakar, do you fulfill the ase? Or is it like a mitzvah b'aveira? Right? If it's a kinyan, is a kinyan chal or not? Right? Now, if we're really saying that there is, if there's an impediment, there's a custom which says there's no yibum here, then for sure there should be eshasach. Right? But if it's just, you know, you can't do the mitzvah of yibum because the other mitzvah is too formidable, it's not clear that you violate eshasach. It's still yibum. At least it's an open question. There are a number, in other words, of issues. Moreover, maybe if we say inase dochalos ase sheish bakares, right? Maybe that explains why there's no yibum. Does it explain that there's no chalitza? Or maybe because if there's no yibum, there's no chalitza. That's another topic that we discussed a little bit, right? But it's not so simple. And does it explain why there's no tzara? Right?
Unless you assume that the
maybe. Oh. So let me just highlight this a little bit more. I'm not going to go through all the Gemaras now because it'll take too long. But the Gemara continues, just structurally, the parrot, so you should know, because we're going to skip a little bit because of that. We'll hopefully get back to the other part later. But I say, from Dalid Amud Aleph through Zion, through the beginning of Zion Amud Aleph, the Gemara goes off on a tangent to try to figure out the rules of ase doka lo ase, and how do you know that kares yes and kares no? The Gemara speaks about kelayim, and the Gemara speaks about mechaner, a whole bunch of kibud av aim, a lot of interesting things. Fine. Then the Gemara picks up again on Zion, on an aleph, with this whole topic. We'll speak about some of that next time. But go for the moment to Chesam and Aleph. What seems to be the Gemara's conclusion, I want to show you it's not so simple. The Gemara says, the Gemara tries to explain back and forth, you do need it, you don't need it, etc. Fine, good. The Gemara says, here, Rava Amar. In the middle of the page on Chesam and Aleph, you see in Hagos Habach, across from the letter, either between Dalet and Hay, at least Amai Tzura Sadaf. It's almost in the middle of the page. The first word of the line is Rava. Everybody have that? Rav Amar, Erva Lo Tzricha Kra. After all of this, like 3.5 dapim, Rav says, you're right. When it comes to Erva, we don't need a pasuk, we don't need a leha to teach you that it's not subject to Yibam. The Ein Aseh Docha Lo Saseh Sheish Bakaris. Okay. I made it easy, I just skipped all the shakal tari in between. You know. Halavai, it should be so easy. Ki itzrich kra lemesar tzara. That's what you just asked, right? Right? That's what you just asked. The pasuk is used for tzara and not for exactly your suggestion, right? Your mechavin to Rava. The pasuk is used for not for aleph, for the erva, but for the tzara. That's the Gemara. Okay. Then the Gemara says, "Ve'erva lo tzricha kra." How could that be? Ba'tanya ein li elahi mishum tzaras ein li elahi. Right? If it says ein li elahi, then obviously the pasuk is being used for the erva. So the Gemara says, "No, mishum tzarasa." Ivaktani ein li elahein. So the Gemara says, "Mishum tzaros sehen." Multiple co-wives. Okay. Then the Gemara has Toshma, Revi Omer, a different limud, not Aleha, V'lokach V'lokcha, V'yibim V'yibma. The words V'lokach V'lokcha, V'yibim V'yibma are superfluous. Lesar Tzoros V'arayos. So the Gemara says, so which sounds like that you need a pasuk to exclude Erva. It's not enough to say that it's Aseh Dochalos Aseh Vein Aseh Dochalos Aseh Shish Bakares. So the Gemara says, no, Eimalesor Tzoros Shalarayos, right? Again, only to be Mabai Tzoros. So the Gemara says, Atreik Kroi Kanosivla, Mailav Chad Erva B'Chad Lo Tzara, right? You have so many psukim extra, is it one for Erva, one for Tzara? No, Inibidu Le Tzara, Chad Le Mesa Tzara B'Mokom Mitzvah, Chad Le Mishri Tzara Shalom B'Mokom Mitzvah. So the Gemara is two limudim, Aleha, and v'lokach v'lokcha v'yibma v'yibim v'yibma, and it seems like simple reading of Rabba and Rebbe is that both of them are there only for the purposes of tzara and nothing more. How do you exclude erva? Einaseh dochalos aseh sheish bakaris. Correct? Okay. However, if that were the case, then a lot of what we just said, you know, would be, well, a lot of what we've been saying for the last few weeks would be pretty problematic. Because I'm trying to prove that it isn't just limited to Einaseh Dochalos Aseh Sheish Bakaris. So, you know, we can't just leave it at this, right? That would jeopardize our shiurim, albeit l'mafreya. Okay. So, you know, we answer one puzzle with another puzzle. Isn't it interesting that some Rishonim, despite Rava, seem to be adamant about citing either Aleha or V'lokach V'lokcha as the source for excluding the 15 Ervas of the Mishnah. Even though it's an explicit Rava, it sounds like that's not what the Gemara is concluding. Who are such? Who are these people? So look, for example, in set 3, the Rambam. We used all these Rambams last week for Nida, except for the last line number 39. Okay, this is page 2 of 3, set 3. Right? Rambam Sibum B'chalitza Perik Vavalachatess? Everybody have that? Okay, good. We have only 1 minute to go. But Ketzad Yibama Shehi Erva Al Yibama. A woman The candidate, in other words, who is an erva to the yavam, kagom, choice achos ishto. Case of the Gemara, right? She's his other sister-in-law. She's the sister of his wife. O ima, obita. Right? His mother-in-law, his stepdaughter. Harezu petur min achalitza min ayibum. The ain't all out zika klal. Now, why should that be? Because ain't ase do chalosa say sheish bakaris. That's what Rabba said. That's what Rebbe said, right? It's not what the Rambam says. Shanemar, v'la kalol yisha v'yidma, misharilu likuchin v'kidushin tov simba, hi sheizkuka liyavam. There's no din of tzara in this Rambam. So if you look at the next piece, look at the Magen Mishnah. Magen Mishnah says, v'gmar perakamad alches, rebi yomar v'la kachalakha, lesar tzaros v'arayos. V'apafi sheshan helu lesar tzaros shal arayos, t'arayos gufayo lo tzrichi kroi. The Gemara there says you don't need a pasuk for arayos. You only need a pasuk for tzaros. She'ein ase dechalos ase sheish bakares. Rabbeinu kosav kipshat habraisa hu kesugen kemaisa darmino de erva tzricha kra. Dein zemalo lo ridli kra din. Magen Mishnah says it's a halakha lemaisa, it doesn't make any difference. So the Rambam, even though this is the conclusion of Rava and Rebbe, the Rambam ignored it and went back to the Havamina and gave you a pasuk for it. Since there's no difference halakha l'mayis, I'm not so sure there's no difference halakha l'mayis, huh? Because as I said before, im avar v'yibeim, would it be good? Right? The Rambam Paskin said it's not good. I don't know if that would be true if it was only midinase lochados ase sheish bakaris. Or what about eishes ach? Right? The dina erva mepurish barosha masachat kamishas reinoshim potas sarse. Not only here, but also in Perushim Mishnayos. If you look at Perushim Mishnayos Aleph, this is the first Mishnah, instead of quoting Belakach, Belakach, here he quotes Allah again, Akdim Klalim L'Masech Tazu, V'Yachakach Atcha B'Perush. The Rambam says, I'm going to outline a couple of general rules before we begin. Okay? Go to Klal number, one second, Klal number 2. This is line 13. Da klal asheni, in meis ha'ach, the brother dies, v'niach isha, he leaves a wife, v'haysa osa isha asura al-achiv, and she is of a relationship that is prohibited to the brother. Right? All echad mina achim ha'mu amadim l'chalit sali, one of the candidates, in meis v'niach achim rabim, there are multiple brothers. She's his daughter. Hakai. Or she is his sister-in-law, right from the other side, meaning his wife's sister. Lo yiyadim osa, osa ha'ach. That brother cannot be biyadim. Shehi asur lav mishumerva. Why? Because they not say docha lo sase shesh bakares, according to Rebbe, right? Not according to the Rambam. The pisha amar, right? The isha el achosa lo tikach l'tzor legalos arvas aleha. The amar yavo, you give amar yavo aleha. Ukiilu amar ze shamarti yavo aleha. Tim hoisa achos isha lo tikach l'tzor. V'lamadnu shararayis ne achos isha. The Rambam ignores Rava and Rebbe. Right later, he basically revitalizes Rebbe in Mishnah Torah. In Pirushim Mishnayis, he goes back to aleha. But it's only the Rambam. Rashi does it. Rashi, in a few places, does this. I'll document it next time. The question is why? Why aren't they just happy with the Gemara? I think the answer is exactly what we've been trying to explain. How do you explain Rebbe? How do you explain the Gemara? So I'd like to suggest, this doesn't work perfectly for the Rambam, because the Rambam has another mokar for Tzara. But what I'd like to explain is as follows. A simple pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara says, we don't need a mokar for Erba. We do need a mokar for Tzara. And these makoros, whether it's aleha or v'lacha v'lacha, are the makoros for tzara. Correct? That's a simple reading of the Gemara. What do you do for the Rishonim who seem to be defying that? So I'd like to suggest that they read the Gemara the following way. The way they read the Gemara that we just read before, Gimel and Beis, was as follows. The Gemara says, the din that erva, especially the ones in the Mishnah, are an impediment to yibum, chalitza, namely the bino yibum, For that you need a Xeris HaKasu. To supply the din of Einat Seidot Chalos HaSeshish Bakaris. Right? So on Dabches, the Gemara says, you're right. To know that fact, it would be enough to say, Einat Seidot Chalos HaSeshish Bakaris. But then we wouldn't know Tzoros. But it's not just that we wouldn't know Tzoros. My question was, there are two different ideas here, and there could be Nafkamina. So the way Vivre Shorim read the Gemara is, we wouldn't know Tzoros, not only wouldn't know Tzoros, there couldn't be a concept of Tzoros, because if all you care about is the clash between the mitzvah of Yibum and the Surim, right, so Beis Shammai is right. The Aleha, or the Velocha Cholocha, is to teach you that Yibum is Kipshas Ishus, and you have to have appropriate candidates. The very reason that we can expand to Tzaras Erba highlights that we're not just interested in the clash between a mitzvah and Iser. It shows that what we're really interested in is the high ambition and the high standard of Kedushas Ishus Shel Yibum. So the Gemara says you need a Leha and you need a Velocha Falakha for Tzara. They don't just mean you need it for Tzara. What they mean is you need it for Tzara to highlight this expanded idea of Hafgas, Erva. And I think that's exactly how the Rambam, Rambam's a little tricky for that other reason, the Rambam and Rashi and a few other Rishonim read the Gemara. Okay, we'll continue with this.